The U.S. Supreme Court today issued two rulings of importance to Wisconsin and American politics. First, it will hear arguments in a challenge to legislative district lines drawn by Republicans after the 2010 census. Secondly, it said that new lines do not have to be drawn by November. It overruled and set aside that order by lower court judges. Gee, General, I got that kind of messed up. Attorney General Brad Schimmel, at TMJ, in your interview this morning, you called it two pieces of good news. So maybe you can do a better job than I just did of summarizing why you're using that term.
Well, first off, the good news, the first good news is that the Supreme Court decided to take the case for arguments, which means they'll issue an opinion that's going to give some guidance. I mean, right now, this affects every state. And right now, the measure that the plaintiffs have used for, they call it the efficiency gap here, yes, in their case, that affects actually the maps in about a third of the states in the nation.
Which is why, how many states joined you, amicus? Excuse me.
I don't know how many states joined. I'm sorry, I don't have the number in front of
more
me.
More than 10.
We do an awful lot of cases where many states join together, and I just don't remember the number on this one. But it's very important for a lot of states that we get some guidance on this, because the decision made by the lower court panel is unique, to strike down a political redistricting where there are no allegations of racial bias in this one. Right. So that's the first piece of good news, is that they're going to hear it, because we really do need the guidance. If they had summarily reversed or summarily affirmed, well, we'd have an answer in Wisconsin as to what we have to do, but there wouldn't be the ongoing long-term guidance that I think we really need in something this important. And then the second piece, important piece, was that they issued a stay, because otherwise, while the Supreme Court is hearing arguments and issuing a decision on the case, we would have the Wisconsin legislature redrawing maps potentially for no reason whatsoever. And the other good news with the issuance of the stay is that there are two things you have to establish on a stay. One is that if the court doesn't stay the lower court hearing or decision, that you'd suffer irreparable harm. And the other piece is that you are likely to prevail on the merits when they do hear the case. So five of the justices have viewed the briefs petitioning for the stay and have concluded that we have a likelihood of winning on the merits. That is not by any means a crystal ball into what the court will do. It's just encouraging that Wisconsin may not have to go through the expense of redoing this.
Is it possible that Justice Kennedy, who joined the majority in issuing the stay, could have joined that part because he wants to hear the legal arguments, and no one knows how Justice Kennedy is going to rule, correct, General?
Absolutely. We don't know how any of them are going to rule, but he's certainly the one that everyone considers the wild card, and you're absolutely right. That may be why he joined the motion to stay, because he just wants to hear the arguments and make the decision first.
Let's play this out. If Wisconsin loses, the Supreme Court could establish a new precedent for partisan gerrymandering, not race, which is already decided, just overturned North Carolina. What are the implications if the Supreme Court eventually adopts a partisan gerrymandering rule?
Well, this is difficult stuff, because the court is going to be reluctant to just flat out legislate. And if they create a rule for how to do it, they run the risk of being a legislature, and they're very reluctant to do that most of the time, and they should be. If they set broad guidelines, which is more likely, if they find that the lower court was right in this case and they set some broad guidelines for how the states need to redo this, that's probably going to lead to a lot of litigation in a lot of states, because the legislature will try to do it and someone will challenge that they got it wrong, and we're going to be back in front of the appellate courts again. So very difficult routes to take if they find that Wisconsin's redistricting is not lawful and there needs to be a new standard.
Court's obviously a third branch of justice, or third branch of government. If they adopt a partisan gerrymander, will this be another step towards the politicalization of courts, General?
Well, courts have been involved in drawing maps before. Right. After the 2000 census, there were challenges to the redistricting in Wisconsin, and ultimately the courts got involved in drawing the maps. And, you know, I know there are many that are upset and believe that their vote's been watered down, but frankly, the maps that were drawn by the courts after the 2000 census were what resulted in the 2010 victories by Governor Walker and the legislative majorities that got elected in the Wisconsin State Legislature as well. So, you know, we've seen very similar results between the maps that were drawn in 2011 and the maps that were drawn a decade earlier by courts. They're not, the results haven't been that different.
I'm going to ask you to follow up on something you told TMJ this morning. Many Democratic voters have chosen to congregate in areas with heavy Democratic vote turnout. Right. Why is that an issue, sir?
Well, that's one of our arguments, and the issue claimed by the plaintiffs in the case is that the Republicans in the legislature set out to crack and pack, they call it, creating districts where you put huge Democratic majorities that then watered down their vote effectively by not spreading them into other districts that would be more hotly contested. So they create more safe, more winnable Republican districts. So a factor in this, though, is that people choose to live in certain places, and it's been an experience in our state that there's a far higher concentration of Democratic voters in the urban areas like Milwaukee and Madison. And that's difficult to carve those out into separate districts, because then you create districts where people don't have anything in common with each other.
Talk about the timeline here. Do you expect the U.S. Supreme Court to hear this before January 1?
We expect that they'll take this up in oral arguments in the fall. And again, I don't have a crystal ball, but we anticipate that we'll probably have a decision in February of next year or so.
February. What does that mean for the boundary lines for the 2018 elections, General?
Well, if the court upholds the lower court decision here, our legislature would have to move very quickly to take whatever standards the U.S. Supreme Court applies or issues and apply those to drawing new redistricting maps, and they'd have to move very quickly. It would change some people who represent a particular district now might find them a man or a woman without a district.
Help me understand. You say two pieces of good news by the Supreme Court, but Democratic Assembly Leader Barca says there could be a precedent set to end extreme partisan gerrymandering. Voters should be able to choose their representatives. State Democratic Chair Martha Lanning said, "I'm confident that the 2011 legislative maps will be declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, as well, and electoral fairness will be restored to Wisconsin." You see good pieces of good news. The Democrats are heralding it as good news. Help me sort out who's right.
Well, from my perspective, first off, it's good news, and I think that the Democratic leaders would agree that it is, well, apparently they do, agree that it's good news that the United States Supreme Court's going to take this up, because we need clear guidance on this, and we've never had that. And then the second piece of good news that they've issued a stay, you know, my job is to defend the maps that as Attorney General. And if there were a Democratic legislature that wrote these maps in 2011, I would find myself defending their maps as well. So for me, the fact that the court stayed it and they gave somewhat of a signal that they think there's some merit to our side of the case is good news for me.
So you see that 5-4 as a signal that the maps will be upheld? A signal, yeah. A hint?
Yes.
Kind of a tell if we're playing poker here?
That's about the best you can say, right.
Okay. Then will you be personally arguing before the U.S. Supreme Court?
Personally, no. I'll have our state solicitor general handle this. That team's been working on this all along, and frankly, Steve, they're much, much sharper lawyers than I am.
Why should the average voter who not familiar with the reapportionment redistricting process, why should they care about this case, General?
Well, on the one hand, whatever standard the court sets, it's going to have an impact on our state. Either the districts remain the way they are, or we're going to spend a lot of time and effort and money to redraw them, and it's going to affect who represents you. If they're undone, you may be voting for a different slate of candidates next time around.
Now, who's paying for this? Obviously, your office is financed by taxpayers. And
yes.
Legislative leaders, the GOP, have hired lawyers that are being paid for by we taxpayers, correct?
Yes.
Is there any limit to how much we taxpayers can spend defending the current line, sir?
That's a legislative decision for the legislators to make. They allocate that money and they make that decision. I've had no role in deciding that. You know, the outside, we're the lead lead attorneys on the case at DOJ because that's our job, statutorily and constitutionally. But we welcome the help of outside groups because in a case that's this significant, there will be many amicus briefs that are filed to help guide the Supreme Court's reasoning in this case.
Now, the Solicitor General is a recent position. So is this an example of why you needed the Solicitor General and why we now have one in Wisconsin?
Well, it is. You know, we defend Wisconsin state laws against challenges, and this would be a law we're defending. Absolutely. We have the ability, because of the creation of this Solicitor General's office, we've had the ability to hire some very high-powered lawyers, people that are former U.S. Supreme Court clerks, people that are former United States Court of Appeals clerks, and they are in high demand. Private law firms want to hire them and pay them pretty big salaries, and to be able to attract them here to serve for a while, probably a matter of a few years in the Wisconsin Department of Justice. These aren't going to be lawyers that will be with us for 30 years, but they'll come along and help really craft the best arguments. And Wisconsin is really becoming quite well known for the quality of our litigation in the appellate courts. And I think you're going to see that the United States Supreme Court may take more and more cases that have Wisconsin as a party in those cases because they want to see high-quality litigation. And whatever the end result is, we need to make sure we make the best arguments on behalf of the state.
Solicitor General has now being involved in, obviously, this reapportionment case, clean air. What are some other cases where you filed?
Oh, Waters of the U.S. We have challenged a number of federal regulatory agencies. The FCC issued a ruling that would have set artificially low rates that jails and prisons can charge for inmate phone calls. Mm-hmm. And we got involved. They were out of their lane. They had no business getting involved in that. So we've gotten involved in a number of cases that I would characterize as rule of law cases. Make sure regulatory agencies only do what they're authorized by Congress to do. And at the state level as well, we've defended many laws. The reforms passed by the Republican legislature have been controversial to some, and it has kept us busy defending those challenges in court.
Every state must, as you alluded to earlier, redraw its legislative boundaries.
Right.
So that's really the heart of it here, because you told TMJ that if they adopt the precedent of wasted votes efficiency gap, one-third of state legislative maps are run afoul of that standard?
Yeah. About a third of the states would run afoul of the standard proposed by the plaintiffs in their efficiency gap measure.
Okay. Well, then, final question. You're encouraged, then, by the two Supreme Court decisions today?
I am. I think it's good news.
Attorney General Brad Schimmel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.